KBOO.
Well, we have heard from some places this morning. We've heard from Olympia, Washington. Thank you, Lisa. And we've heard from Rhonda in Washougal. Thank you, Rhonda. We've heard from Jan in Northeast Portland. And Cecilia. Thank you so much, Cecilia. And Ruben stopped by from Southeast Portland. Ruben stopped by to buy some gift memberships Woo-hoo. For his friends and families. And this is a great thing. You too can come on in, 20 Southeast 8th. See how your dollars are put to work in service of your community and get some gift memberships for your family and friends. This is the way we do it. We do it together. We do it with your support right now. Perhaps the easiest way for you to join us is to call 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. This is your time. Please do become a member of KBOO right now. 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Ani. Thank you, Jenka. And thank you to the folks that we're about to hear about who have also joined the KBOO family in the manner and to the extent that makes sense for them. And we are indeed calling upon you to join the KBOO family in the manner and to the extent that makes sense for you. After we hear about these folks, we're going to hear about from the Digital Divide, looking at the effects of electromagnetic fields produced by popular devices like cell phones, computers, and their and other antennae. So keep it locked right here. I'll be right back with you in just a minute.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today.
Breakfast provided by Daily Cafe, located in the Pearl District at 902 Northwest 13th Avenue, serving seasonal breakfast, lunch, along with wine spirits, open daily for breakfast and late lunch.
Lunch provided by Paninoteca, a European-style pushcart serving sandwiches with gluten-free options. Paninoteca is located downtown and open Monday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. More details can be found at paninotecapdx.com.
Dinner provided by Danway Fanting, located at 803 Southeast Stark Street. Chinese homestyle dishes prepared daily from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or later. Dinner was delivered by Caviar. Caviar provides food deliveries from restaurants all over Portland.
For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
That's the you in community, my friends, at KBOO Portland. The 11 o'clock hour marches on, and we're going to hear from the Digital Divide. Once again, I am privileged, honored, as well as contractually obligated to remind you of some of your friends and neighbors who got involved, who became part of the KBOO family in their own way. They have helped to make KBOO programming possible by KBOO listeners, members, and support from Portland Underground Graduate School, a local independent learning community offering courses and workshops for continuing lifelong learning, scholarships and other tuition opportunities available, course options, and more information online at pugspdx.com. Oh,
I'm talking today with Joel Moskowitz, PhD. He is the director for the Center of Family and Community Health, School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley. He's a postdoctoral fellow, evaluation, research, and methodology at Northwestern University, a PhD in social psychology from UC Santa Barbara, and many more accolades. Joel Moskowitz, welcome to the Digital Divide.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about EMFs. So Joel, help our listeners understand why cell phones and cell phone towers are dangerous. We'll start with a big question.
Well, cell phones, cell towers, wireless devices, Wi-Fi, cordless phones, wearable wireless devices, wireless smart meters. There's a whole host of technology that rely on electromagnetic fields, or EMF, more specifically, two types of non-ionizing electromagnetic fields, extremely low frequency or magnetic fields that typically come from power lines, but also could come from the systems that operate your mobile phone or laptop, and radio frequency fields. Radio frequency fields are emitted by these devices to communicate with other infrastructure, and essentially to give you access to telecommunications networks or the internet. And we have research going back many decades indicating that both forms of energy, extremely low frequency fields as well as radio frequency fields, are potentially carcinogenic, according to the International Agency for Research on Cancer. More recent research suggests that they are actually carcinogenic. They are cancer-producing. And it takes a while for the policy-making bodies to catch up with the large body of research, which predominantly shows the preponderance of the research that's published in peer-reviewed journals shows that this form of energy, these two forms of energy, extremely low frequency and radio frequency fields, are indeed carcinogenic and have other adverse effects on humans as well as other species.
And one of those adverse effects that we're seeing in really high volumes are brain tumors in the location frequently where people hold their phones. Is that true?
It varies from country to country in terms of the brain tumor incidence. What we are seeing in studies that have looked specifically at the types of and locations of brain tumors is that there has been an increase in tumors in the frontal and temporal lobe, which would receive the maximum radiation, at least from earlier cell phones, if not the smartphones, and particularly the most serious type of brain tumor, glioblastoma multiforme, which is highly fatal. Those have been increasing in studies that have looked at tumor registry data in depth. Overall in the U.S., it seems that glioma or brain cancer has been fairly flat over time. Meningioma, a cancer of the outer lining of the brain, has increased substantially, which may be related to cell phone use. Increasingly, too, we're seeing, beginning to see in studies, evidence of other head and neck tumors, which are likely related to smartphone use, because the location of the antennas in the smartphone and the form factor for the smartphone is very different than the early cell phones, the flip phones or the candy bar phones. So we're beginning to see tumors of the thyroid gland and the parotid gland, and I've been hearing cases of incidences of lymphoma in the neck, which may be smartphone related.
Is that due to placement and position when people are using the device?
It definitely seems to be the case, yes. People who use their devices hands-free or with wired headsets seem to be at much less risk of head and neck tumors. The other major problem, in which we have a substantial amount of research, is evidence of sperm damage in males who keep cell phones in their front pockets. And there's quite a bit of research establishing that risk. There's less research suggesting, but suggestive, that women are also at risk of infertility, higher miscarriage rates for women who are exposed during pregnancy or prior to pregnancy to high levels of magnetic fields, some of which may come from these wireless devices such as cell phones or laptops.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Any of these devices, essentially, it sounds like what you're saying is they all emit some amount of radiation.
That's very true. They emit, virtually all of these devices emit not only radio frequency radiation, but extremely low frequency magnetic fields.
One thing I'm thinking of is all the different places and ways that people can be exposed besides their cell phones. So, like wearable wireless devices.
Yeah,
do they
Wi-Fi
count?
Wi-Fi router. Yeah, I mean, basically we're bathed in what some people have called electrosmog. And the levels of electrosmog have increased incredibly over time. We did a study, part of an international study. We contributed a site in Los Angeles, multiple sites in Los Angeles, to an international study that was recently published. And we found that the levels in Los Angeles, and these were outdoor levels, of radio frequency radiation had increased about 70-fold over several decades.
Wow.
The last study, which was conducted by the Environmental Protection Agency, was done. But our government has stopped monitoring these kinds of exposures. Other countries are continuing to monitor, but our government has been extremely negligent in addressing the health risks, in monitoring our exposures, in funding the research necessary to do to determine what might constitute safer exposures, and in setting policies that protect the public from chronic exposure to radio frequency fields.
But that's not recent. That lack of interest or lack of will to ensure that the product is completely safe before selling it, that's been lacking for decades. That's not just the last 2 years.
No, this
problem
goes back decades.
Right.
We've been negligent in dealing with this environmental toxin.
Now, they do include, when you buy a cell phone, they all do come with, I'm going to call it the fine print, you know, a tiny little folded piece of paper that has health warnings on it.
That's very true. Berkeley, California actually has passed a law several years ago, 2015, which requires the cell phone retailers to post a small notice reminding people, consumers in the cell phone stores, to look at these fine print warnings about the minimum distance that you should keep the phone from your body and any other health risks that the cell phone manufacturers provide. But as soon as we passed that law in Berkeley, the industry, represented by the industry trade group and lobbying group, the CTIA, sued the city, and that case has been going back and forth through the federal courts for the past 3 years.
Now, the information that Berkeley required to be posted, is it any different than the warnings that come inside the box with your phone?
It's a very simple notification indicating that you will exceed the federal guidelines if you don't pay attention to the manufacturer's minimum distance warnings. It doesn't even go into health warnings. It just basically says you're going to exceed the federal guidelines for exposure if you keep the phone next to your body.
And the manufacturer's lobbyists opposed that public notification.
Yeah, they don't want people to look at these fine print warnings, obviously. And they're spending, probably have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to get the city of Berkeley to rescind its ordinance. Prior to that, the city and county of San Francisco had passed an ordinance that was a little more ambitious and actually discussed some health warnings. And that was battled by the CTIA in the federal courts for several years. But the city lost its will to fight the industry once the Mayor Gavin Newsom, who is now our incoming governor, left to become lieutenant governor. The city no longer had the will to battle the CTIA. So they rescinded their ordinance. And it was after that happened that the city of Berkeley took on this cause. So right now, Berkeley is the only city in the country that has an ordinance along these lines. Interestingly, the California Department of Public Health, beginning in 2009, tried to issue its own set of warnings about cell phone safety. And that got suppressed till last year when I won a successful lawsuit against the state of California that required the state to release the draft documents early in 2017. That received widespread media attention. Later that year, by the end of 2017, the state of California finally published its cell phone warnings, and those can now be downloaded from the California Department of Public Health's website.
And you're listening to The Digital Divide here on KBOO Community Radio. We're going to return to this amazing discussion in a moment. And we're right now asking for your support for this community radio station. This is the last day to support public affairs programming, support news and talk radio here on KBOO. And our holiday membership drive in this, our 50th anniversary year, this is your last chance, and we urge you to support right now. We're a little behind. We need to raise $10,000 today. I think that we can do it. We need you to step up to the plate and do it with us. 877-500-5266. That is the lifeline for KBOO that ensures that this station continues to be the University of the Airwaves that it is right now. 877-500-KBOO. I want you to take a couple of minutes out of what you're doing. We have so many ideas for how to grow this station, and we need to make our fundraising goals in order to do that. We want to increase trainings for young people of color in East Portland, to increase our youth collective. We need a rocket connector for our transmitter to ensure that our signal remains strong. We want to have a version of our website in Spanish. We have so many things going on, but if we don't reach our fundraising goals, we're not going to be able to expand. We're not going to be able to grow and to do the things that really are important to keep this station strong. We need to do it, and we want you to be a part of this wonderful, incredible community that's been here 50 years strong. So call right now with your contribution of $5 a month, $10 a month. If you have $5 in your account this month, maybe you'll have it next month too. I think you probably will, and you can do that for KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call.
Absolutely. Take a leap of faith. Go ahead. Check your wallet out. Check your bank account out right now. You got $5 right now. Go ahead and commit that to your community radio station, KBOO, and then go ahead and commit it again next month. Become a sustaining member of KBOO. That's right. $60 is what it adds up to over the course of a year. Just $5 a month. And that is doable for just about everyone listening. Pick up the phone right now and become a member of KBOO. At that level, when you do, you can get a tote bag as your thank you gift. It's a wonderful logo. It says "Music Makes the Movement." This tote bag is actually a little oversized, so you can fit vinyl albums in it. I happen to know. It's and so "Music Makes the Movement." Indeed, you can get that as your thank you gift when you dial 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. As Janka was saying, we do have a little ground to make up here during our holiday membership drive, and this is your time to jump on in and help close that gap. You know that you are listening because you rely on KBOO to give you information that you can't get in other places. It is brought to you by our community members, volunteers who are passionate about our communities and about the world we live in. And so we come together here under the auspices of KBOO Community Radio to share that information, to share that knowledge, to help people get connected and stay connected so that together we can do right action and change the world. That is essentially what KBOO is all about. And right now is your time to connect in with your other community members, because without you, who's going to do it? You are an important part. In fact, you are part of this solution right now. Please do pick up the phone, 877-500-5266. 5266 and say yes to your community radio station during this special holiday membership drive.
You know, we've had some great momentum this morning. We've had the phones ringing. We've had people coming in. You can do that as well. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue will welcome you, show you around, and you can see where your hard-earned dollars go here at KBOO. We don't waste them. Believe me, we make them stretch. And here at KBOO, it's your station, and you can be a part of it right now. If you don't have time to come down, just take 3 minutes of the phone, do it and set it up, and it will make such a difference. We need to raise $400 right now, and that's just four people doing that $10 a month contribution. So you don't need to put down $400 all at once. You can do $120 at a $10 a month, and that's a really substantial contribution to KBOO, and it's doable for many people. $10 a month. Can you do that for your community radio station right now? And it really is a gift back to yourself, because you give yourself the knowledge, the information, the facts that you get on KBOO, the news, the music. You give that to yourself and to the rest of your community. So give a gift back right now in this time of giving. 877-500-5266. We do need the phones to ring right now. And to make that $400, we have been doing great this morning, and we need to keep it going. Your support gives us the freedom to experiment so we can bring you innovative, engaging, inspiring radio. I mean, where else are you going to hear about the electromagnetic waves that are coming from the cell phones and the effects of that and the impact of that? Other media shy away from these topics, but KBOO devotes an entire hour to it. 877-500-5266. This is a community effort. We know there are complicated challenges that are confronting the nation right now, and it's an unprecedented time right now in the United States of America. The time for independent media has never been more important and more essential than it is right now. And we need your support in order for that independent media to remain independent. That's why all of us coming together make this station happen. And so you calling right now at $10 a month really makes this impact. Right now, we need you to call 877-500-5266.
Clearly, the telecommunications industry is using this, the same playbook that's been used for tobacco and asbestos and another number of other toxic agents. It's, in fact, a much more powerful industry politically and economically than the tobacco industry ever was.
And why is that?
Virtually everyone is dependent upon telecommunications. At its strongest, only about half of the public were tobacco smokers. And this is not just simply a national problem. This is a global problem, because wireless telecommunications is used by probably 5 billion people worldwide.
There are some countries that have said, well, we're not going to have wireless technology in schools. There are some countries that have acknowledged and created policy to protect children from wireless. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, a number of countries have published warnings, which typically don't get seen by much of the populace. And a few countries, particularly in the European Union, have restricted wireless use, particularly Wi-Fi and cell phone use, in schools, like France and Belgium, notably, particularly in the younger grades. Increasingly, more and more schools are adopting policies to restrict the use of cell phones, and to some extent the use of Wi-Fi in schools. Los Angeles Unified School District actually has adopted a policy that provides accommodations for people who develop sensitivity to wireless radiation. It may be the only school district in the country that it accommodates teachers and staff who have such sensitivities. But children still are at risk, and most schools systems are oblivious to those kinds of risks when children become sensitive to electromagnetic fields. The kinds of symptoms that people who become sensitive to electromagnetic fields, which range from like headaches, insomnia, ringing of the ears, some people develop skin conditions, other people develop heart palpitations. There's a wide range of nonspecific symptoms for people who do develop a sensitivity to electromagnetic fields. By and large, the medical establishment in the U.S. particularly has not recognized this as a legitimate medical condition. So it's very difficult to find people to diagnose and treat this condition in the United States. European physicians are much more aware of this problem, and it's much easier to find diagnosis and treatment in other countries than the U.S., but we've been pretty much turned a blind eye to this phenomenon in our country.
Most recently, in fact, driving here today, heard a radio commercial touting you're connected home with 5G, your car. Tell us a little bit about this emerging technology of 5G and its hazards.
Well, 5G represents, and it's not 5G Wi-Fi. People tend to confuse that. 5G Wi-Fi actually stands for 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, whereas the original Wi-Fi was being delivered at 4 gigahertz or 4 billion cycles per second. When people refer to 5G now, they mean the fifth generation of cellular technology.
Mm-hmm.
And this is supposed to be the new great faster downloads and quicker latency, shorter latencies, which will enable all the devices in your home, your smart device, so-called smart devices, to communicate with each other and to communicate with you, and including autonomous vehicles, self-driving vehicles. Problems with 5G are manifold. Namely, it's going to add a whole new layer of electrosmog or different frequencies on top of existing frequencies that are being used by 2G, 3G, and 4G, which our cell phones and smartphones still are capable of emitting. So this is going to add a substantial amount of additional radio frequency radiation to our environment. Plus, 5G is going to use low-band, mid-band, and high-band. These are frequencies that are either lower, somewhat higher, or very much higher than what we're currently using for Wi-Fi or cellular technology. The very high frequencies, the high band, are actually called millimeter waves because they're shorter wavelengths than being currently used for cellular or Wi-Fi. And these millimeter waves have particular properties that enable them to carry much more information because much more bandwidth will be available. But the downside of millimeter waves is that they don't travel very far, so that it's going to require what are called small cell antennas every few hundred yards in many cases. And these antennas, although they're small, they may still be put out a considerable amount of radiation. These antennas will be mounted much lower than conventional cell towers, or macro towers, as they're called. They will be mounted on public utility poles, maybe 30, 40 feet above the ground. They'll be beaming directly into people's homes, and it's estimated by the industry that it's going to require somewhere between 800,000 and 2 million of these small cell antennas sites to be distributed across the country in the next several years in order to deploy 5G fully across the country. The research on the millimeter waves, and this is only one type of the additional radiation that will be used for 5G, suggests that they will primarily affect the skin, the eyes, the sweat glands, and the peripheral nervous system, because they don't penetrate as far as the lower frequency waves in terms of how much they penetrate the body. Although this technology is being touted as being more reliable, it comes with a number of problems because the millimeter waves can't travel through trees or leaves. They're easily disrupted. And there's a fair amount of research actually on the millimeter waves, but most of it's very short-term, focusing on animal models, and shows a variety of effects that are deleterious. It will also interfere with other species, particularly insects and microbial organisms. There's evidence that millimeter waves can make pathogens drug resistant. We are essentially changing the entire environment around us, the ecosystem that we live in, by adding these additional forms of radiation to our environment.
And you are listening to the Digital Divide here on KBOO, your community radio station. I'm Ani. I'm here with Jenka. This is the holiday membership drive, and this is the time for you to call 877 800-500-5266 and say yes to your community radio station, because you want to guarantee and safeguard your access to information that is relevant to our lives. We want to know about technology. We want to know about investigative journalism. We want to know all manner of dangerous truths, right? Because we don't shy away from hard news. We do it because we have community supporters just like you who enable us and, in fact, demand our independence. And that is, my friend, where you come in right now to become a grassroots supporter of KBOO this morning. Just call 877-500-5266. And I'm going to ask you to give at a $25 a month level or $300. He'd be a hero for KBOO. Give $300. And we would love to thank you with one of these beautiful, warm, zip-up hoodies with the KBOO logo front and back. You can wear it as a warm layer during these chilly days. You can show your KBOO pride. You can support your community radio station. All three things with one phone call, 877-500-5266.
Yes, be an enabler of dangerous truths. This is what we're asking you to do right now. Be a part of something that's larger than yourself, something that is giving back to the community, and something that empowers all of us to make change and to organize together. The number again is 877-500-5266. You know, I'm going to be really real with you right now. We have about $18,000 to go, and we need people to step up and to say yes to community radio. It's really essential that we have listener support and that listeners call in their contributions, and especially those monthly contributions. If you're someone who could do a $25 a month contribution, what that does for KBOO is it sustains us throughout the year over the long term, and that allows us to make decisions like, hey, can we do a Spanish version of our website? You know what? We can afford that now because we've got these sustaining members, and we know that that is going to be every month. It's really, really important. And right now, it is so essential. It has become harder and harder to access small, scrappy news sites that tell the truth. And that is why it's ever more important to support community news organizations like KBOO, because there are forces at play, I'm sorry to tell you this, people, that don't want you to access real news and information, that don't want you to have a fact-based, community-based news source, that in fact want to control the news and the culture you're able to access. I know that's a chilling thought as to what it implies for democracy, but keep in mind, it is not too late. Despite the pressure, KBOO is here. We remain strong. If we fail to meet our fundraising goals, we have to reduce our capacity, and we don't want to do that. We want to remain strong and here for you and this voice of reason on the radio dial. So please call us right now, 877-500-5266. This is the Festival of the Last Minute. This is your chance. It's the last chance to support the public affairs programming today on our membership drive, the last chance in our 50th anniversary year. This is a historic moment. Be a part of this occasion and do something for the future generations. Keep KBOO strong for the coming 50 years. 877-500-5266.
That's right. It is, in fact, up to you. Up to you, my friend. Think about what you get with KBOO. Think about why you're listening right now. Think about all of the opportunities and connections that KBOO makes, because we are a community connector and we do it with your support. Your support can be called into 877-500-5266. $300 seems like a whole lot of money. And in fact, it is. It's more than I could give at any one time. But I give in a monthly way. I do it sustainably for me, and I know it makes it sustainable for this community resource as well. And together, you know, It makes us all stronger. And I'm asking you right now to add your strength to the mix, to add yourself, to participate actively in your community radio station. It feels good. You will listen to the radio differently in the future once you make that commitment, because you know that it is your dollars at work. You are one of the people making it possible for the broadcast to happen when you join KBOO with your membership this morning. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Once you make that commitment to your community, call that number and say, yes, I am here. I want to be counted. I'm participating in my independent community radio resource, KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. or online at kboo.fm.
You know, KBOO is a one-of-a-kind institution that represents the best goals of what was the original vision of radio, that the public interest standard be informed by the community, not by some corporate interest that owns and controls the airwaves, but by the community. And we're here, right here in your community, and we want you to be a part of this. Please join us right now. This is the place where we're able to learn from history to stop society from making the same mistakes. In order to do that, we need listener support. We are commercial free 24/7, 365 days a year. And the way that we're able to remain commercial free is we come to you a few times a year and we ask for your support, and you always come through for us. So now is one of those times that we're asking for your support, and we need you to come through for us. $300, $25 a month. Get yourself the KBOO hoodie. Really support KBOO in a major way, and get yourself a nice warm hug from KBOO that you can wear every day around town and be a part of the Hoodie Brigade. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. That is the lifeline for KBOO to support this weapon of mass instruction, not destruction. Be part of something positive, something empowering, something that changes this world for the better. 877-500-5266. Please keep those phones ringing. Let us get this $400 right now. 877-500-KBOO.
Compare with an X-ray.
An X-ray is a different form. It's along the electromagnetic spectrum, but it's in a much higher frequency, and it's what's considered ionizing radiation because it has the energy to actually create ions or ionize an atom or molecule, which essentially means it has enough energy within the wave to knock an electron out of its orbit. Radio frequency radiation and magnetic fields are not considered non-ionizing radiation, and which has been considered for many years to be innocuous because it doesn't have the capability of making these chemical changes directly. The problem is non-ionizing radiation can cause harmful effects through indirect mechanisms. There's a fair amount of research suggesting that radio frequency radiation can trigger the voltage-gated calcium channels in your cells, which causes an influx of calcium into the cells, leading to the development of free radicals, stress proteins, and sometimes DNA damage. We've got probably about 5 dozen studies showing evidence of DNA damage. One study, a review study, looking at what's called oxidative stress, the broader term for this sequence of events, looking at low-intensity radio frequency radiation. There was a review of 100 studies that were published in peer-reviewed journals, and the review found that 93 of these studies showed evidence of oxidative stress in terms of evidence of free radicals, stress proteins, or DNA damage. So we have a substantial amount of evidence of these indirect effects. And by the way, ionizing radiation, even though it can cause direct effects, changing molecules and causing DNA damage in your body, much of the harm that ionizing radiation does, according to the research, is through indirect mechanisms as well. But a large portion of the community of physicists seem to be oblivious to these indirect effects, and these physicists tend to dismiss what essentially are probably now thousands of biologic studies that show effects from radio frequency radiation. I've been an advisor since 2015 for an international EMF scientist appeal, which calls for stronger regulations and warning the population about risks of non-ionizing radiation. Now it's signed by 240 scientists who have published more than 2,000 papers on electromagnetic fields and biology or health. So there's a large portion of the scientific community who have actually published peer-reviewed research on this topic who have been calling for stronger regulation of radio frequency radiation and extremely low frequency fields, magnetic fields, which goes back for decades.
Tell us about the FDA and the FCC's response to this scientific evidence?
Well, the one major study that our government has conducted, which was conducted by the National Toxicology Program, the final reports came out probably within the last month or 2 months now, was a study that the FDA called for in 1999, and for various reasons, the study didn't get launched initially for many years later, but after about 10 years of research in this $30 million study involving more than 3,000 rodents, the researchers found what's now considered as clear evidence of heart cancer and some evidence of brain cancer and tumors in the adrenal glands of male rats that had been exposed prenatally and for 2 years to cell phone radiation. This is our one major effort, this $30 million study, to determine whether cancer can be produced by cell phone radiation. And indeed, the experts who've reviewed this study, and this was reviewed by a panel of 15 experts, came to the conclusion that the answer is yes. Cell phone radiation can cause cancer in an animal model. This is not the first study, actually, to show this. There was an early Air Force study that found increased cancer rates in rats, and this study was dismissed. And recently, there was a study conducted by the Ramazzini Institute in Italy, similar to the National Toxicology Program study, which found using much lower exposures than the NTP, or National Toxicology Program study, found evidence of increased heart cancer and brain cancer in rats. The FDA is now trying to dismiss the utility of this study, saying, well, this was done on rats. There were some anomalies in the study. It was using an earlier form of cell phone radiation.
I have a quote from Dr. Jeffrey Schurin, director of the FDA's Center for Devices and Radiological Health at the time. Quoting him as saying, these findings should not be applied to human cell phone usage, adding that we believe the existing safety limits for cell phones remain acceptable for protecting public health.
Yeah, I've been writing a response to that press release. It's completely disingenuous, the position of the FDA regarding this study. Basically, it's saying toxicology isn't important, which is ridiculous because the FDA relies on toxicologic studies all the time. Several years ago, I interviewed one of the scientists at the FDA who was supposedly their leading person on radiofrequency radiation, one of the few people there that had been following the research on this, and he seemed completely ignorant about the state of the research. Our interview turned out to be essentially my debating him for 2 hours, trying to show him that his understanding of the research was completely naive. And having been conducted science for over 40 years, I've never seen a perfect study, so that would essentially mean we can't rely on science at all if your expectation is to find a perfect study.
Right.
Obviously, when you study rats, you can't directly extrapolate to humans, and that's always the case. And that is what the position of the NTP was, that you have to take this into the context of the other research. But the FDA is using the NTP statement that you can't directly extrapolate by saying basically the study is worthless. So essentially what they're saying is the government wasted 19 years and $30 million of taxpayers' money for a study that was completely useless. And that's just an absurd position for the FDA to take. But our governmental agencies, by and large, on a daily basis, seem to be taking more and more absurd positions and seem to be completely neglecting public health and safety.
Well, in regard to, you know, cell phone safety and EMF safety, would you call the FCC and the FDA's reaction to all this research a conspiracy?
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I basically let others analyze conspiracies.
I don't think you have to be a conspiracy theorist to say, well, it appears that there's a significant lobbying action taking effect that is influencing government agencies to ignore public health and safety. Agencies that their job is to protect public health and safety, either willfully being ignorant, turning a blind eye, or rejecting scientific factual studies.
Yeah, on my website, safermr.com, which I've been working on since 2013, I have a post from a career journalist who spent a year at Harvard analyzing the FCC's behavior over time. And he basically lays out, Norm Elster lays out the case in his monograph, how the FCC is basically just doing the bidding of industry. Early on, it was the broadcast industry. In more recent years, it's been the telecommunications industry and the wireless industry. Similar cases have been made against the FDA doing the bidding of the big pharma. That's been well documented. It would appear here, too, that the telecommunications industry has had a considerable amount of influence on the FDA and our other health agencies. By the way, the Environmental Protection Agency was doing state-of-the-art research in the 1990s on cell phone radiation, but when it came out recommending much stronger regulation of cell phone radiation than the FCC and the industry wanted at the time, the result was that the Congress cut off the funding for the Environmental Protection Agency to do this research. So virtually, at this point in time, there's essentially no expertise within our federal health agencies with regard to radio frequency radiation. All the experts have by now have retired from government. So our federal health agencies are basically flying blind, and to the extent that they rely on science, they're being advised by industry-funded scientists, people with conflicts of interest, who are protecting the industry by taking a very conservative position in interpreting the research and ignoring vast amounts of the research that has been conducted.
Well, that's one thing that deregulation isn't helping.
Absolutely not. Our government also, besides deregulating all these environmental measures that were set up to protect us, is benefiting greatly from the proliferation of telecommunications, wireless telecommunications.
How is that?
In a number of ways. For one, they've been selling more and more of the so-called bandwidth, the electromagnetic spectrum, to the telecommunications industry. Just one band alone, the 24 gigahertz band, which is currently being auctioned off to the industry, government has already netted close to $600 million for that one band.
Wow.
In addition, federal and state governments have a variety of excise taxes and fees, which we pay through our cell phone bills.
Mm.
They're basically taking money off the top to pay for various programs. So this is a form of taxation on the American public that is being passed through the telecom industry. We're paying for all this technology. We're being experimented on by this industry, and we're not being provided informed consent.
You're listening to the voice of Joel Moskowitz. He's the director for the Center for Family and Community Health at the University of California, Berkeley. And this is KBOO's holiday membership drive. This is our last chance this year, 2018, to support KBOO Community Radio, and we need your support right now. We're trying to get $400 more by noon to support public affairs programming on KBOO. This in-depth type of interview and this deep reporting that KBOO does, we want you to call right now, and $25 a month is what we're asking. But of course, any amount that works for you, you can choose. You can choose a basic membership, $20, up to any amount. The sky's the limit. To $100, $500, $1,500, $5,000, whatever works for you. And if you can do $25 a month, KBOO hoodie, the KBOO hoodie. Need I say more? You can wear it. It gives you a little KBOO hug.
It does. 877
500 5266. That number, the last four digits spell KBOO. So if you need to remember it for a moment, maybe you're in the middle of something, you just need a minute to pull over or to you know, put away your dishes or to put away your work and to step away from your workplace and into a quiet corner where you can make that call. It's 877-500-KBOO. 877-500-KBOO.
Or online at kboo.fm. Please just take a moment and connect with us right now. This is really important information, and it's information that is not discussed other places, right? This is information that, yeah, it's been known for a while that the radiation through EMF and through cell phones is damaging, is hurtful. But what do? You know, we can't cover it up. We need to actually share the truth with each other. And, you know, as you just heard Professor Moskowitz say, you know, that there are safer ways to use the cell phone, to actually have hands-free. That sort of thing is important. We need to share this information. It's a way of community education and keeping each other strong, safe, and whole, right? So this is a good time for you to join KBOO this morning. Please do it right now. 877-500-5266. Show your appreciation for the information that you receive each and every morning on the Radio Zine between 9 and noon, with such great shows as Digital Divide, as Beloved Community, as One Land Many Voices, as Pacific Underground, as Press Watch, as Words and Pictures, as Old Mole. All of these programs come to you during the Radio Zine throughout the week, throughout the month, because our local community members, our local community volunteers are passionate about sharing information, about sharing news, about bringing people together. And right now, we are hoping that they have reached you and that you are brought in together with so many other community members to support this resource, KBOO Community Radio. Please do count yourself amongst the KBOO members right now and make it so. Dial 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
You know, we've got 10 minutes to go. We've got $400 to go, and Don is in there getting his records ready for some great folk music this afternoon. But before that happens, we need the phones to ring a few more times for this talk, public affairs, interviews, the depth of the reporting that you get here at KBOO. We need you to say yes to it and support it. In the midst of a crisis, an emergency, you don't want to find yourself with no source of credible information. KBOO has no automated DJs. We are all real people volunteering live in the studio 24/7, accessible on our landline phone number to ensure that we can be your source of information when you need us most. I was in New Orleans in the days after Hurricane Katrina, and I can tell you it is extremely chilling to turn on the radio dial and not hear anything except canned content on every Clear Channel station and no public radio accessible. That is a very, very difficult situation to find yourself in, but with the support of KBOO and with you supporting us right now, we can get ourselves the generator, we can get ourselves the needed extra power that we need to be there for you at times of emergency and times of crisis, and we're there and we're here only because of you. 877-500-5266. Again, the phone number is 877-500-KBOO. We need $400 in the next 7 minutes, and we need you to get the KBOO hoodie. $25 a month contribution. Support KBOO at a really substantial rate and get the KBOO hoodie and wear it around town.
Absolutely. And I see we have a member stopping by in person. 20 Yay. Southeast 8th. I know this listener has stopped by before in the past during our membership drives. It's always good to see folks. Come on down, 20 Southeast 8th. You can come in person. We'll give you a tour, and you can join us that way as well. However it works for you, please just do it now. Whether you come to 20 Southeast 8th or your easiest access is online at kboo.fm, or calling us at 877-500-5266. Call in right now. Become a member of KBOO this morning.
Is there a way to use these devices safely, or is it just you're going to get an electromagnetic bath whether you're using a device or not?
There are ways to use it in somewhat safer manners, but One of the problems we have is that we don't know what constitutes a safe level of exposure or type of exposure. Our current regulations only control for the intensity of the exposure over a very short duration, and basically we're only designed to protect us from a heating effect, yet the research shows that there are many effects that are not due to heating, and they occur at very low levels. And in fact, some of the research suggests that the effects are not a function of the amount of dose in terms of the amount of energy, but are actually nonlinear in nature, such that very low exposures can open the blood-brain barrier, which can then enable any chemical toxins in your circulatory system to penetrate your brain tissue. And these types of effects disappear at higher level exposures. It's also the policies, the regulations don't control for the type of radiation very adequately. So a pulse signal, research suggests that a pulse signal may have more biologic activity than a continuous signal. And with the newer technologies, the signals are very, very complex and may be interacting with our bodies in ways that had never been anticipated before. Plus, we're not only exposed to these electromagnetic fields, but we're also exposed to a variety of chemical toxins which may interact with each other. So we're living in this very toxic environment, and on a daily basis it seems we're increasing the level of toxins we're being exposed to. Now, some of this is controllable. For example, you can choose not to use a cell phone or to use it in a fairly safe manner. Don't keep it on your body. Don't use it when the signal strength is weak, because the phone is programmed to put out up to 10,000 times more radiation when the signal is weak. Keep the phone away from your body, because the strength of the signal decreases substantially. The amount of radiation you're exposed increases substantially with distance from your body. So distance is your friend. Use it only in rare circumstances, and primarily use a wired or corded phone, a landline phone. Use a wired headset, not Bluetooth. There's a variety of things that the state of California is recommending to people who want to reduce their exposures. So these kinds of things are within your control. Don't keep your laptop on your lap. There's a variety of measures that could be taken with regard to personal device use. But increasingly, it's becoming harder and harder to avoid these exposures, because cell towers now are going up in neighborhoods all over the country, and people are organizing. In fact, I've heard from over 100 organizers from all parts of the country in the past year who are trying to fight the proliferation of these cell antennas.
Where does Bluetooth fall into that, into the danger zone?
Well, Bluetooth is a very low-intensity exposure, but the problem is, as I was saying earlier, that these low-intensity exposures have been known to open the blood-brain barrier in animal models. So we can't assume that Bluetooth is indeed safe at this point in time, from my reading of the literature.
What type of testing would you like to see?
I think we need a substantial amount of a variety of research, and it would take quite a while to go into all the types of research that needs to be done, but it needs to be done in a very systematic manner if we hope to determine what constitutes a safe level of exposure to what types of radiation. It's essentially, we've got policies that regulate, that are trying to regulate one particular type of output from these signals.
If you could influence public policy, if science wasn't just rejected out of hand, what type of testing would you like to see happen, before these devices were released to really, and they're just consumer devices. This is all about money, all about profit and sales. So it's not about health. So what type of testing would you like to see before these products are released to determine their safety, or at least how to use them more safely?
I think we need to convene a group of experts in toxicology and epidemiology, in radiation physics, to come up with some protocols that would enable us to determine what constitutes a safe level of exposure of a particular type of radiation. And I suspect what we're going to find is that the type of radiation, the modulation, the pulsing, all of this makes a difference, as well as the frequency and the intensity and duration of exposure. So this is going to be a complex endeavor. Hopefully we can come up with some simple models that can enable a fairly quick assessment of a variety of different types of radiation.
I know that when I drive around the outskirts and the new suburbs and new developments of Portland, the new housing developments, they are touting, you know, smart homes, you know, built-in Wi-Fi. You know, it's a smart home. It's going to, you know, technology. You'll be able to tell your oven to cook something while you're driving home or who knows what. What effect is that going to have on the children living in those homes?
Children and pregnant women are probably at greatest risk from these exposures. And yeah, we're talking now about not only smart homes, smart cities.
People are driving cars with Wi-Fi, and the kids have tablets in the back, and they can stream a movie while they're driving to keep them, you know, busy, yeah. Watching movies and videos all the time.
Well, there's the deleterious effects of the exposure to the radiation involved, which we've talked about a fair amount. And
right.
What we haven't gone into is that there's building evidence that there are neurodevelopmental effects playing out in the forms of attention deficit hyperactivity disorders, reduced cognitive functions, effects on memory that we're seeing in adolescence. And then there are also the effects of this technology can be very addictive, particularly for young people.
Joel Moskowitz, thank you so much.
Thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today.
Breakfast provided by Daily Cafe, located in the Pearl District at 902 Northwest 13th Avenue, serving seasonal breakfast, lunch, along with wine spirits, open daily for breakfast and late lunch.
Lunch provided by Paninoteca, a European-style pushcart serving sandwiches with gluten-free options. Paninoteca is located downtown and open Monday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. More details can be found at paninotecapdx.com.
Dinner provided by Danway Fanting, located at 803 Southeast Stark Street. Chinese homestyle dishes prepared daily from 11:30 a.m.